Are you a nonprofit professional who's feeling overwhelmed and burnt out? Well, welcome to the Lead with Heart podcast. I am your host, Haley Cooper. On this podcast, we will share stories of leadership, courage, and empathy that'll help you learn to take care of yourself, your staff, organization, and community. You will hear from nonprofit leaders who have been in your shoes and have learned best practices to raise more revenue and make a greater impact. Let's thrive together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Lead with Heart podcast. This is your host, Haley Cooper, and I am so excited today to have Jen Klein on the podcast. She is from You Are a Philanthropist, and Jen Klein is a certified fundraising executive and health coach, mother of two, major gift officer, soon to be author of a book coming out this spring called Giving is Selfish, and founder of the merchandise company You Are a Philanthropist, with a podcast of the same name where she features philanthropists just like you. Wow, you do it all, girl. So I'm so excited to have you on this podcast because we're going to talk a little bit about work-life balance and health and wellness and just all things philanthropy. So welcome, Jen.
Haley, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I would love, by starting out, if you could just share a little bit about your story of what you do and how you became involved in nonprofits and really developed this brand called You Are a Philanthropist.
Yeah, so it started right out of college. About 18 years ago, I started working for a YMCA and started out doing grant writing, capital campaign, support work, and it became something that I really enjoyed. I enjoyed talking to people, partnering with them, getting excited about the mission of the organization. And I did go on to some education after that and dabbled in religious organization and poverty alleviation. So I bounced around a little bit in my 20s and finally settled in education until I became a mom. And that's when I decided it was time to pursue that avenue that opened up for me, because I realized that I was not able to have the work-life balance that I needed and that we're going to talk about here, because I was very tired and I was having long nights and long days. And so I did have to step aside from my career in fundraising, which was a very wonderful, successful career, into my new pursuit of caregiving. And I really believe that caregiving is another act of service that we can do. And I was conflicted about it because I had such a great experience working at different nonprofits, but it was one that was really the best decision for me. And I'm so glad I took 5 years to spend with my young children. But during that time, I couldn't fully leave my interests behind. I had to pursue my passion of helping other people understand the value of philanthropy. And I could no longer do it as a spokesperson for a nonprofit. So I became the philanthropy in general's champion. And that's why I titled my company, You Are a Philanthropist, because I believe everybody listening to the show and everybody has the opportunity to get involved with philanthropy.
Yes, I love that. And I think we have a similar journey of not being with two kids, not being able to be available in like a major gift role or director of development role because you can't be out on the weekends or out every night or early in the morning, whatever it be. And I love that you really sat down and had the space to understand what mattered most to you and really taking that time to not only caregive for your kids, but also develop this passion around You Are a Philanthropist. And I know when you reached out to me to have you on my podcast, I was like, I don't think I'm a philanthropist. Like, I'm just doing nonprofit work over here. And I would love for you to share a little bit more about like how nonprofit leaders can really embrace this idea of being a philanthropist. It doesn't necessarily just have to be people who have a lot of wealth. Like you mentioned, giving back means you are a philanthropist. And obviously you probably have a better definition of that, but how can we really embrace this idea of being a nonprofit leader and then transform that ability of identifying as a philanthropist into creating that culture of philanthropy within our own organizations?
Yeah, those are great questions. So I realize that I love philanthropy and I love it because it makes me feel good. And there's something that we're hardwired within us to feel good when we give. And I wanted more people to feel that excitement. I want more people to know the health benefits to philanthropy. You do live longer. You have better social connections, better mental health. Scientific evidence shows, it's also called the helper's high scientifically, doing philanthropic work not only benefits the people you're giving to, but it also benefits yourself. And I just feel like for leaders in the nonprofit sector to be mindful of that, that this isn't something where we need to pull teeth about, that this is something exciting, that not only are we asking major donors to join the table, but we're asking our fundraisers to get excited about coming to work. And I believe that getting excited coming to work means showing up for a job that you're passionate about, being rooted in the mission and enjoying the work you're doing, and also remembering the big picture that you're giving. You're a kind person. You are impacting people's lives. And I think if leaders were to embrace the real I am a philanthropist mindset, that what I do matters, even if it's small, even if it's mundane from time to time, that it does make a difference. And one of my favorite quotes is from Mother Teresa that said, if you can't feed 1,000 people, then feed just one. And when I was showing up for work as a young mother, I could no longer be my best at my job. And that was very challenging for me. And I had to recognize that I wasn't enjoying coming to work as I used to. And I didn't feel like I was making as big of an impact anymore, or that I was getting any accolades or praise for the work that I had done. So I decided that, you know what? I'm just going to declare that I am a philanthropist. And for me, that was a change. That was an aha moment, as Oprah would say. For me, it meant that I was saying, I am making a difference. My difference matters just as much as the millionaires that I'm working, partnering with at this institution. And no one should be on these varying degrees of the impact you're making. Like, we're all in this together. And I think that's something exciting about philanthropy, is that the word philanthropy comes from the word philia love, which is brotherly love. And we're brothers in this. We are joined together in making the world a better place, and everybody's impact matters.
Hey there, podcast family. If you're like me and deeply committed to improving your leadership skills and fostering better connections with your team, I've got something truly amazing to share with you. I'm proud to introduce the EMC Masterclass, something I talk about often as a certified trainer. It's an incredible program developed by the renowned Dr. Lola Gershfeld, an organizational psychologist and corporate emotional connection expert. You might remember her from a podcast episode where she shared invaluable insights into the world of emotional connection. Dr. Gershfeld's EMC Leaders courses are designed for anyone working with people, whether you're a manager, supervisor, team leader, educator, coach, mentor, or a team member. This program is truly for everyone looking to enhance their communication and collaboration skills to raise more revenue for their mission. Now, let me tell you why the EMC Masterclass is a game changer. Dr. Gershfeld's groundbreaking emotional connection process has been integrated into top universities' curriculum and recognized by international organizations like ICF, HRCI, and SHRM. Humans are wired to seek emotional safety, and when we feel safe, we're more likely to take risks, share innovative ideas, and collaborate effectively. The EMC process is the catalyst for creating that emotional safety within your team.
The virtual EMC masterclass consists of 8 modules with 4 hours of expertly recorded material, 13 quizzes to reinforce your learning, and a workbook filled with activities for offline practice and something I still refer to daily. Ready to become an emotional connection master? Dr. Gershfeld is offering an exclusive deal for our podcast listeners. Use the code LEADWITHHEART to enjoy a generous 10% discount on the EMC Masterclass. Head over to emcleaders.com and enroll in the EMC Masterclass today.
Yes, I love that idea. And I love that you share, like, being a philanthropist can, like, really bring back that purpose and showing, like, that you matter in the workplace. And I would love for you to describe a little bit more about, like, how leaders can really cultivate that feeling of philanthropy, even exemplify it for their employees, but really cultivate that feeling of belonging, like people showing up and that they are a part of this philanthropic mission, that what the work that they're doing matters. Because I think a lot of burnout happens when we feel like what the work we're doing isn't valued. We feel like we're not a part of the mission, that what we're working towards doesn't matter. And so what are different ways that leaders can really embody that within their organizations, but how, and then can fundraisers, like, really, because as a fundraiser, you're sometimes once removed from the mission, right? Like, you're either out talking with donors, you're not necessarily experiencing the program and the client. So how can you, like, bring it back to the mission and make sure that you're getting filled up and understanding what's happening within the organization so that you can then go communicate that out?
Yeah. So I think that there's, just like I was saying, that we're all in this together. So there's some sense of I'm responsible for how I'm feeling, but also others are responsible for the situations I'm in. So I would say from an employer perspective, making sure that your staff are taking care of themselves in as far as giving them flexibility with their jobs, not micromanaging them, making sure they're enjoying the day-to-day operations, enjoying coming to the office. And so when you have a positive work environment, you just feel better. It's easier to come to work. You have more energy to give. But I'm also responsible because I need to take care of myself and I need to practice self-care. And for me, that means doing a nice skincare routine with my Arbonne International products that I love, or making sure I eat nutritious food, or going for a 20-minute walk on my lunch break, which I'm able to do now because I have a wonderful employer that really values the whole person.
Yes, I love that idea. And let's talk a little bit more about that. I have my whole Arbonne routine too. I would love to know what line you use. And I want to talk a little bit more about that because I think it is so important because we need to fill ourselves up first so that we can fully show up for our mission and really embody that idea of self-care. I think that term gets overused a lot and is misunderstood in what it actually means to fill ourselves up first. And a lot of people have that resistance, especially in nonprofits. And I've talked about this a number of times on the podcast. There's this idea that we have to give all of ourselves all of the time. If we don't, there's literal lives on the line that if we're not available 24/7, or as a fundraiser, if we don't pick up that phone call at 10 p.m., that means six-figure gift might go out the door, right? Like, we feel like this need to serve. And that's part of the reason why we get into nonprofits is because we all like to help and we all like to serve. But can you talk a little bit more about, like, the importance of really taking that time to fill ourselves up first? And yeah, so I'd love to start there.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, when I became a mom, one of the reasons why I stepped back from my career, I started to become a primary caregiver. And this is something I had never done before and was totally not prepared to do something as challenging as that is. And I stopped in the same way that nonprofit professionals give of themselves so much. I was giving so much of myself to my sons. And a few years into taking care of my children full time, I started using products from a wonderful certified B corporation called Arbonne International. And for those who don't know what a certified B Corp means, it means they're legally bound to put people, planet, and purpose over profit. So it's a socially conscious, social business, for-profit business. And I really identified with the values of that organization, and I was able to have my own side business sharing these products, which I'm so glad to hear you love them too, because I have a wonderful skincare routine with the AgeWell line. And I also have my shakes every day since they have a nutrition line and they have nutrition programs. And it's a real community aspect for people who want to get involved with it. And so as I grew up in raising my children, I realized more of the value of giving to myself than I had before, because I hadn't given so much before that of myself. And I tend to think about what Jesus said, which was, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so you do have to love yourself and love your neighbor in equal measure, and make sure that if you're giving, not just that you're receiving, but that you are giving to yourself. So when we talk about self-care, I think of giving to myself and in order for me to give to others.
Yes, I love that framework and that idea that you brought in, what Jesus said about loving your neighbor as yourself. And really, I guess we could all view ourselves as like image of God, and we all are deserving of that love. I think sometimes we're like, oh, we can give love. I know for me, I'm like, I could talk nice and give love to someone else. But when it comes to me, like that's a whole nother ball game that I don't want to go there. But I know the importance of really filling yourself up and loving yourself first so that you can love others well. And I think one of those aspects, obviously, is really eating healthy, sleeping, getting proper hydration, like taking care of yourself. But one of the aspects that I love that you go through, and you are a philanthropist, and I guess part of your book that's coming out, Giving is Selfish, is the idea that part of self-care is giving back. And you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I would love for you to dive a little bit deeper into like why giving back in general is like really good for us.
Yeah. So it's scientifically proven that you can live longer, you have stronger social contacts, you have less anxiety and depression, like you have an overall better feeling about life if you are being giving. And that doesn't mean that you're giving your donations to nonprofits. It really is called the helper's high. So I kind of define that as any sort of work you're doing, either within charitable work with a nonprofit or just on your own. Some of my guests on my show are not involved with the nonprofit, but they're creating community by just giving to their neighbors and being very generous with the community that they have in their own neighborhood. So when I think about the podcast that I created, it's really about looking, as Mr. Rogers would say, is looking for the helpers, the people who feel really good about what they're doing in the world in this chaotic environment, difficult circumstances. And I think finding those people is really provides hope for all of us, really, for those on the front lines, or whether it be healthcare workers or even our military people who are giving of their sacrificially. So I think we have a lot of people that we can look to be grateful for. And gratitude is such an important component of philanthropy, I believe, as well. And I think about Thanksgiving. So when I was writing my book, I was thinking about what is giving. And I was thinking about caregiving, Thanksgiving, forgiving. And so those are some of the things I talked about in my book, Giving is Selfish, is different components that nonprofit professionals don't usually think of when they're thinking of philanthropy.
Wow, that's amazing. And I know I love those like three aspects of thinking about giving. It's not just giving like of your time and your talent, but there's Thanksgiving, there's forgiving, there's so many ways that you can give. And you asked this on the podcast when you interviewed me and when you interview other people, but I think a lot of people, they're like giving back. Like, where do I even start? There's so many causes to care about. There's so many issues in the world. there's homelessness, there's an environment, there's children, there's animals, like anything you name it, there's an issue. So what's the like number one thing that you would recommend for someone who like is looking to give back, but needs that like first step or guidance to just jump in and get their feet wet?
Yeah, I think that's such an important thing to think about, because it does feel overwhelming when you're thinking about everything that you just described that is in need in our world. But it really is about what is my uniqueness and what can I bring to the table? What am I passionate about? So you can look at what you're gifted in, what your strengths are, and how can I serve? I prefer working with nonprofits, but I do know people work without nonprofits doing charitable philanthropy. But I find it so rewarding to work with nonprofits. And I would just say, find what it is that you're passionate about, what your strengths are that you can do for that nonprofit, and get involved right away. Don't waste any moment, because I believe we forget the value of time. And fundraisers can tend to think of things in terms of who's giving the most money. And I like to think of who's giving the most time, because we're never going to get that time back. And time is our life. You're giving a piece of yourself that you can't get back or you can't earn back. And then once it's there, it's gone. And we don't know how much we have, which is such an interesting thought about. We think we have unlimited time, and we really, life is short. The older I get, the more I realize life is very short.
Yeah. And I love that idea of time, because I could literally have a whole nother podcast conversation on how people and volunteers are your low hanging fruit, so to speak, on the donor pipeline, because people who give of their time are more inclined to give. And I think one of the things that happened over the pandemic was volunteers went away and they didn't have that aspect. And I know a lot when I was the director of development, like that was their community time. Like they were retired and they had lost that community aspect of being in the workplace, or their kids had flown the coop and now they were lonely at home and looking for that next chapter. And you could really see, like from conversations with them, like not, I don't want to say the decline, but this sense of loneliness and how that aspect of taking away that giving back really impacted their mental, physical, and emotional health.
Yeah, Haley, I couldn't agree more. And I remember one of my podcast guests talked with me and said, loneliness is an epidemic. And I think there are things we can be thankful about, with as difficult as it sounds about COVID, is that we were able to connect technologically, like you and I met through the wonderful social media and Zoom worlds. But there's nothing that can replace in-person meeting. And for me, I would love to give you a big hug one day. There's something about being with people in person that is so important, so valuable. And I think you're right. I think it really set us back in terms of relationships.
I think also, like, people think of giving, and you made a good point about time too, is like you as a health coach are giving back in that aspect, not only using Arvon products, but really helping people facilitate living a healthier life and using your talents as a podcast host and obviously an author now of helping people facilitate that. So there's multiple ways that we can give back that's not necessarily of monetary means. But I love that you said earlier, what are your strengths? What are your talents? What are you passionate about? And how can you help one person or a group of people, right? Like it comes back to, yeah, really understanding that. And I think a lot of people don't take that time. So here we are giving you that permission to step back and really understand how you can impact one person today.
Yeah. There was a study that said that only 25% of Americans volunteer every year. And one of the reasons I created my podcast was because I got excited about this opportunity. If 75% of Americans are not volunteering, what more could we get done if we were able to increase that amount? And the reason that Americans say that they can't volunteer is because of time. 90% of respondents said it was a time factor. And I can totally understand that mindset. We are a busy people. We take care of kids. We go to work full time. We have to take the kids to soccer and swimming, and especially for young parents. But it usually is retired people understand that they have a little bit more time and maybe can give that time. But it's those young parents who are like, I don't have time for this. And I really want to encourage the young parents out there to get involved in any way, whether that be through Little League or the school committee or PTA. It is so rewarding. You make friendships that can last a lifetime. You're creating a wonderful community for your children. So yeah, there was a guy on my show, I think you know him too, Mark Chamberlain, mm-hmm. and he yeah. calls himself a give back advocate. And I had never heard that before. And he puts that on his headline on LinkedIn. And he is so passionate about giving back, and that he and I are give back advocates, and you are too.
I love that. Yeah. I love being able to tell my kids, I'm like, honey, do you know what I do every day? Like, I give back. And I'm like, I love being able to tell my kids that. But I guess I would, on the flip side of not only us being able to facilitate that, like, how in your experience as a nonprofit have you, like, working for nonprofits, I guess, helped facilitate? Like, I know volunteers are always the struggle and hitting every generational point and like trying to bring in younger volunteers or young families, but obviously not everyone has babysitting, so you can't just leave your kids at home. Like, how have you found that nonprofits then can facilitate that and make sure that they are hitting, hate to say, every generation, but really making it accessible to volunteer and give back?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question, because time is so precious and people are so busy. And there is this willingness to help, but I think there has to be a program created for them in order to, what fundraisers need to do is build those relationships, have conversations, put things out there in order to have people understand the value of that they can bring to the table. And one of the things that I get really excited about is the local food pantry in the neighboring town has a program called the Neighborhood Food Project. And they were at a fair one day and they pulled me aside and said, listen, we have this program. What we need you to do is we need you to call together maybe a dozen of your neighbors and just collect a bag from their porch every other month. And I said, that doesn't seem too hard. And when I've been doing this for maybe like 5 years now, and they asked me every other month, how much time did you spend doing this? And I always say 2 hours. It was 2 hours of my time every other month. And it is so rewarding. And the neighbors and I have joined together and are fighting poverty in our neighborhood. And we're all excited about what we're doing.
I love that you found like a simple way to give back, and it's so meaningful. Like, food is such a meaningful thing for people. And I love that you really took that initiative and invited other people to join you.
Absolutely. And once again, that's like the fundraiser's task, is to invite people to come to the table. And people usually are receptive, because most people have generous hearts. It's not a matter of willingness, as this study showed, 90% wanted to volunteer but didn't feel like they had the time. It's really a matter of, how can I fit this into my challenging life?
Yeah, and really making it a value too, because people give of their time where they feel like it's valued. So creating that value, I don't want to say value proposition, but like making sure that when they are spending time with you or where they're spending time, like, it is as meaningful as possible. So they walk away wanting to go invite other people to come back with them.
Yeah. And when I was thinking about talking with you, I wanted to just talk about stewardship, because stewardship is such an important component to fundraising and philanthropy in that when we thank people, we really need to do it very genuinely, very welcoming, and make sure we do it, number one. But it's part of my job that I enjoy now as a major gift officer is making sure people understand how important the work they're doing is and how much they're appreciated. And I think sometimes fundraisers, at the end of the day, we need to meet the needs of the nonprofit, which is a financial need. And so we can't get lost in the fact that we do have to step back from the dollars all the time and look at the people, look at the relationships, look at why people give. And I believe people give because A, it feels good. B, they want to help. And C, because someone asks them.
Yes, the third one's the most important one. Stewardship is obviously important. And I think so many nonprofits struggle with thanking their donors and retaining their donors and then the struggle of trying to find new donors. But I know that a lot of donors don't give or don't give again. Because one, they haven't been shown the impact of their gift, but two, they haven't been asked to give again. And yes. So creating those meaningful of showing how their gift or their time or their talent is of impact, and then asking them to invest or invite them to invest in a meaningful way.
Absolutely. Yeah, as you can tell, I love fundraising. I sometimes call it fundraising because... It's been a very rewarding career for me to know that I helped build a gymnasium for children. I helped people get healthier. And so my career as a fundraiser has been so rewarding in the tangible ways that I see I have made a difference. But also my work at home reminds me of how important that work is too, and how unrecognized that work is. And so, yeah, I would say that my book that's coming out in a couple months called Giving is Selfish is my journey to understanding philanthropy, especially particularly in recent years, as I realized that caregiving was such an important value to the world.
Yeah, well, you embody everything that is a philanthropist, and you are raising the next generation of philanthropists through caregiving. And it's just amazing to see your commitment. And do you have anything else before I ask my last fun question that you want people to know about your book, your podcast, or just embracing this idea of you are a philanthropist?
Yeah, I invite your listeners to reach out to me if they'd like to talk further about philanthropy. I do have merchandise on my website, youarephilanthropist.com, which for me, I find it very exciting, and I know the people who have bought my products find it very exciting to be wearing a shirt that says philanthropist on it and to change the definition and to remind us that, in fact, Bill and Melinda Gates and Warren Buffett, when they created the Giving Pledge, if you go and look at what they wrote in the Giving Pledge, they said that they're inspired by everyday Americans who are giving sacrificially. And so even these big philanthropists see what we're doing. These conversations, this ripple effect, this everyday fundraising career. And I believe they want it acknowledged as well.
I love that. Well, one of the things that it mentions on your LinkedIn profile, but not in the bio that I read, is you've traveled all over the world for your job and you've traveled to 17 countries. And so I would love to know, what has your favorite country been that you've traveled to so far?
Yeah, so I've traveled for pleasure, for work, and for education. And my favorite country, definitely, that I want to go back to, that I even enjoy living in, is Japan. I went to Tokyo, only Tokyo, so there's still so much for me to explore. But I just found the people so generous and kind. And I found it to be clean and the food was delicious. They're very hospitable and it's a very safe country as well. It's a wonderful country.
That is what I've heard. I've had a lot of friends traveling there over the last couple months and I live vicariously through them on Instagram. Well, thank you so much, Jen, for being on the podcast. I am just so grateful to know you and just be inspired by you daily.
Thank you, Haley. I'm so glad we connected. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure.
If you have valued these stories or learned something from what you've heard, please share this podcast episode or follow me on LinkedIn. Thank you so much for your support, and together we can build a better community and world.